Good morning and welcome. It is the second hour of our get-together. It is 7:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And get a load of this one. Massachusetts Democrats are pushing a DEI-style religious preference bill that would help prioritize the hiring of Muslims for state jobs.
What?
Remember, under DEI, discrimination is a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll discriminate against everybody else except the group that we're pushing.
Which is odd because to use the religious preference.
Yeah. That's weird.
It really is. I mean, Hasn't there been lawsuits like, you know, like when a Christian school actually wants to hire a Christian?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right.
But yet here we are in Massachusetts, and those Democrats, wow, they have let everybody into their big tent, and now they're going to promote them. The bill is called An Act Promoting the Civil Rights and Inclusion of American Muslims in the Commonwealth. Inclusion. Are they being excluded? Has there been a case where they say, hey, we can clearly state that you have discriminated against us, you know, because of religious differences?
But you'd need to, like, prove that, maybe show some lawsuits, history.
Yeah. There's been none of that.
Huh.
The bill would also go much further than just hiring policy. Indeed, backers hope that the commission would work with the state government to consider Muslim issues in a wide range of areas, from lawmaking to education to health care, business outreach, and cultural recognition, and would also have input on so-called hate crimes.
So this just takes, like, the thing up in Michigan where they're, like, you know, sacrificing animals in their backyard. You went down that list. Think of all the things that can be included in a very innocent sounding list like that.
Yeah. But you don't speak out against it, Greg.
Oh, no.
You're Islamophobic.
Oh, my goodness.
You are just a bad, bad human being if you speak out. Look, I am I'm consistent, and the Democrats have been inconsistent, and I'm being kind. Discrimination of any sort is not good, not right, and is illegal and should be.
Yeah.
You can't change it to say discrimination, well, is okay here, or it's okay there, or it's okay if this group benefits from it. It's still discrimination, and it's still wrong. I mean, I thought we had started to achieve that. Maybe we didn't achieve it, but from a law perspective, we achieved it, and then you have to utilize the law, in some cases, to force people to not be discriminatory.
Right.
Or it'll cost you. But here we are. DEI is, by its very nature, discriminatory. It's a discriminatory practice. But if you speak out against this, Islamophobic, you know they're going to start yelling that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So they meet little resistance. Remember the Democrats, man, they'll take anybody.
Apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even if, you know, like the Democrat socialists.
Well, we thought some of the Democrats were radical. I mean, the squad and go down the list. But
I would have said.
They're looking more tame.
Oh, I would have said just a few years ago, I would have said there's nobody that's going to be to the further left of, you know, this latest batch, the squad and those coming in. I go, you're not going to see anybody left more kooky, more crazy than that. Well, there's not much room there. But wow. Somebody said, you know, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Get a load of this.
Hold my cocktail. My Molotov cocktail.
Ooh. I think we might have some cocktails in the news coming up of the Molotov type. Yep. We'll get into that. Oh, something I wanted to bring up, too. A federal judge has entered a final judgment ordering Florida gubernatorial candidate James Fishback to actually give his fish back. He has been.
This story smells.
He's been ordered to pay his former employer more than $1.3 million in attorney's fees and costs.
Wow.
The U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer signed the judgment Tuesday in the Southern District of New York, awarding Greenlight Capital Incorporated and DME Capital Management a total of $1.3 million. The figure breaks down to $1.1 in fees, $120,000 in costs, etc. It does not include post-judgment interest, which the firms remain entitled to recover. The judgment formalizes Engelmeyer's June 23rd opinion and order. Greenlight had sought roughly $1.9 million. The judge reduced the amount but said Fishback's conduct in prolonging the litigation helped justify the bulk of the award. He described Fishback's arguments as, quote, legally and factually meritless.
Wow.
If you go to a court of law and you're found that your arguments are legally and factually meritless, without merit,
yeah,
you're probably not going to do well.
No.
And although while the case was relatively complex, it did not involve novel or cutting-edge legal issues. This was a hedge fund that was founded by investor David Einhorn. He sued Fishback in 2024 after he left the firm the previous year. The complaint alleged that he breached confidentiality provisions of his employment agreement by misappropriating and disseminating proprietary information, including portfolio details and strategies, while launching his own investment firm, Azoria. Greenlight also said Fishback misrepresented his role, claiming the title head of macro, a position the firm said never existed.
Wow.
So, when you have proprietary information like that and you utilize it directly against your former employer, you're going to find yourself in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Fishback also lost an arbitration claim against Greenlight after failing to participate, and his former law firm sought to withdraw over $150,000 in unpaid bills. Fishback is still in the race, apparently, although I think he has a press conference coming up. I don't know if anything will come from that. Isn't he the one that says he's got some top secret information Byron Donalds?
He's a little quirky.
That's a nice way of putting
it. According to some, yeah. Mm-hmm. So nothing would surprise me.
Yep.
I don't see him dropping out.
No. And it was Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins that sought to remove Fishback from the ballot on residency grounds, which,
right.
I don't know, seemed kind of clear to me.
Well, it did. And it was almost kind of like they let him off the hook because, I didn't intend to actually leave Florida. I still had, it just came off really weird.
Yeah, tell a cop when you get pulled over you didn't know the law.
Yeah.
And they'll say, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Sorry, pal, pay the ticket.
Uh-huh. That just seemed odd.
But when it comes to rules, election rules, which they're usually kind of sticky and prickly.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, they're in place for a reason, and they expect for you to adhere to them.
Yeah.
And so, I thought that was pretty clear case.
Mm-hmm.
But no. And so he's sticking around. And, anything that sticks around, more than 3 days. Whether it's company or fresh fish, begins to smell bad. Time to say see ya.
I want to scale back on that humor there, Bob.
Really?
Yeah.
Scale back.
Yeah, sorry.
You got me?
Yeah.
I was a little slow to respond.
That's
I apologize.
All right. You got to think about it. It's still early,
You know what? It bugs me that I wasn't able to retaliate.
In your usual manner.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah?
I'm going to make an executive decision.
Okay.
To say that the next segment is going to be What's Bugging You?
Go for it.
It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Call in now, please. What's bugging you? What's irritating you? Air it out. Get it off your chest. 877-975-9825. What's bugging you? Next. Good morning and welcome. 7:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. Happy, happy Thursday. A lot of good things going on. We're going to share that with you. But in the meantime, we got to air out the stuff that's been bothering us. We call it What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now, 877-975-9825. And Denny, what's bugging you?
Well, especially on the conservative side, I've always heard the description of insanity was doing the same thing and expecting a different result. This negotiation with Iran is starting to rake right up there.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, and I think a whole lot of people feel exactly the same way. There's just a level of frustration, but maybe, just maybe, this is the one. But then we get information that Iran's working with Oman, not to like come up with some sort of peace deal or compromise or anything else to work with the United States. Instead, they're working to say, hey, how can we like charge a toll and have control over the Strait of Hormuz? And Oman's like, they're with them on it. I mean, what? We're going backwards. That's how it feels. Oh, we're going backwards now.
Because they had that discussion and we're like, no, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that it's like a two-part thing. No nukes and no messing with the Strait of Hormuz. Fairly clear cut, but they can't get even part of it right, apparently. Slim again, good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, you know, this morning I was getting up, getting ready, doing my normal routine, preparing for another terrible bad luck day like the ones I've been having. And through my feed showed up a series of people who believe the Earth is still flat. I was sort of taken aback that there were so many people who actually believe that our planet is flat. How long has this been going on? I don't know, guys. What's going on, man? It's crazy.
You'd be amazed. You would be amazed. They have
really
conventions, you know, to celebrate it and talk about it and bring.
I mean, is it in the million? Does it eclipse the millions?
I don't know if nation. I don't know. Because I remember the funny thing was seeing a sign outside one of their conventions where they were talking about their guests who came from around the world.
Around the world.
So whoever did the sign wasn't thinking.
Wow. Maybe they meant circular, not sphere. Right? I don't know. That is nutty. Hey, Mark, what's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg, thanks. What's bugging me is that our stroke of genius Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman doesn't just throw in the towel on the Democrat Party like beautiful Tulsi Gabbard would. He could actually save the nation if he switched over to Republican. It's bugging me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, I think there's a part of him that says, no, I want to fight against these socialists and these radicals and these lefties and the hate Jewish crowd that seems to be getting more and more into power. I think he wants to fight at first, but yeah, there might come a time where he says, enough's enough. I can't, you know, it's like a wave washing over me. I can't stop the wave. We'll see. Good morning, Mike. What's bugging you?
What's bugging me is driving after dark. All GM and Ford manufacturers have discovered a way to put the white heat of the sun in new trucks' bright lights. And it's just blinding to drive by them, even when they're not on brights.
Yeah, I come to work at dark 30 every morning and, you know, down the highway. And, I've seen them. And I get people flipping me like my lights are too bright. You know, when I'm a low beam.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the newer.
Like the xenons and all those kind of things. Well, funny you mentioned that. So coming to work this morning, I'm kind of feeling like, okay, the vehicle coming the other way. They're a little intense, but I'm like, I just kind of scootered over a little farther right instead of flashing them. It was GPD, so I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, do you think they really had the brights on, or no, it's just
I think they were just those higher
those intensity
intense lights.
Yeah,
but it was just kind of like, oh, that could have been embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jenny. What's bugging you?
Good morning. What's bugging me is the latest buzz statement from the Liberal Party that says, I'm not debating you. They don't want to hear about Dr. Fauci. They don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to share their perspective to maybe enlighten you to their viewpoint. They just want to say, oh, I'm not debating you. Oh, I'm not debating you. And it just cracks me up, and I think it's really tied to the fact that they don't have anything to stand on. It's very clear Fauci killed hundreds of thousands of American citizens with his bad policies, and I just love that that's now their go-to talking point. Oh, I'm not debating that. I really appreciate your time this morning. I hope you have a great day.
Hey, you do the same, Jenny. Yeah, great points all. They can't defend their positions. Why would you want to debate when you know you can't defend your positions? And they can't. I mean, they can't defend them against logic. It has nothing to do with conservatism or whatever, per se. It's just their thinking and their policies are illogical. How can you defend that? You really can't. Good morning, Mike. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob. What's bugging me is, you know, when this country was founded, we founded on Judeo-Christian ethics and religious beliefs. I can't believe that we haven't done anything to... I know we're supposed to have freedom of religion, but there should be some way of keeping it out of the federal... what do you want to say? Somebody being elected to a federal position should not be able to be a Muslim. If they can't swear on a Bible and believe that there's, you know, that they're taking an oath of office on a Bible, I don't think they should be allowed in the feds, because it's going to come back and get us. With the way that the world is working right now, it's not going to be long till there's more and more Muslims, and that just doesn't go along with what our society was founded on.
It has been found to be, in most cases, incongruent with both a capitalistic system and with our Constitution and the freedoms that we appreciate and enjoy culturally. We're at loggerheads there on that. So, yeah, but remember, you know, why are people voting for things like that and the things that some of these cultures represent? Why would they be voting for that? That's what you have to ask yourself. And what can we do to change that? 7:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Thursday. Hey, coming up, terrorists don't wait for happy hour to have cocktails. Details coming up. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we were here for you then. We're here for you now. 97.3 The Sky. We are your station that you've always counted on for tropical weather and hurricane information before, during, and after every storm. Sky Storm Watch. Thanks to Area Rugmasters, Radiant Credit Union, and Best Restoration, the masters of disasters. And I was just looking... and there is no real activity, and they kind of do a reset. National Hurricane Center, though, they look at stuff again in August to sort of reset what their prognostications are going to be. So a few tropical weather models hint at a chance of storm activity in the Atlantic beginning in mid-August. But generally, hurricane scientists expect things to remain calm over the next couple of weeks anyway. The long-term tropical outlook from National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center shows no activity in the Atlantic region through August 26th.
Wow, nice.
So, but you know, because they maybe didn't get all the ones in that they said were going to be, you know, named storms and Category 3 or whatever, so they're just kind of pushing that forward, saying we still are going to have some named storms, and we still could have a Cat 3 or whatever. So it's...
But they're bumping it down. They're kicking it down the road a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're in good shape for the short term, for sure. But like so many other things, and we've told you before, and we've all probably been guilty of it a time or two, you don't want to procrastinate and wait until something is, you know, on your doorstep. So you still want to be proactive and prepare. And that way, so much better to be prepared and go, I'm so happy we didn't have to deal with all the hassles and headaches that revolve around these storms.
I know, but that doesn't mean I've done it.
Yeah. You got to get out there. Me too. I got to go out there and start the old generator.
Get some good fuel in it, get the non-ethanol kind and all that good stuff.
Well, if it runs on that.
The non-ethanol.
Yeah, what if it runs on propane?
Well, then make sure you got propane.
There you go.
It's very logical, Bob. Pretty simple, actually.
But if it runs on natural gas, I would make sure you get natural gas. Like, you can't...
Yeah, you don't mix them.
No.
And no smoking near any of those options.
Yeah, and yeah, and make sure that you are protecting yourself against shocks.
Oh yeah.
Don't put it out in the rain, but don't put it in your garage either. You got to have a 40-foot carport like I do.
Pretty much. I mean, seriously, it's like all the things you can't or aren't supposed to do to be safe.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Happy hour. Always a good time.
Woo.
Cocktails on the cheap for everybody.
There you go.
Hey, bartender, I'll take a Molotov.
Yeah.
Only terrorists say that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Only terrorists order those. All right, here's your story of the day. We just feature only one story of an illegal alien acting out per day, because otherwise we could do 4 hours every day on it, mm-hmm. and that would get a little bit, I don't know, boring, redundant, whatever. An illegal alien accused of possessing several Molotov cocktails. Must have been, you know, a twofer.
Oh, man.
While walking the streets of Will County, Illinois, this is basically, you know, suburbs of Chicago, right?
Okay.
Hamad El-Sadi, 31-year-old, whom prosecutors say has been twice deemed an inadmissible alien. Twice.
But he's here.
Yeah.
But he's inadmissible.
Yeah, he's been arrested and charged with felony unlawful possession of a weapon and misdemeanor obstructing identification. According to local police, federal investigators, officers witnessed El-Sadi at a closed gas station late at night over the weekend when El-Sadi was told he could not be at the gas station. Officers drove him to another gas station where he allegedly identified himself as Hakmet Sadi. Later
yeah,
in the...
Yeah, because if you're going to make up a name, really? Yeah.
Well, it's... close to maybe what, you know what I mean? It's kind of a Middle Eastern thing.
I know.
He was Hamad, and now he's Hakmat.
Okay. you got a Hak in there.
Yeah. Yep. Later in the evening now, officers said El-Sadi walking through traffic lanes in the middle of a street. He was subsequently detained, and that is when officers found 8 Molotov cocktails in his possession. Can you believe it? The gas station's closed. Uh-huh. The cops actually like help you,
right.
Take you to another gas station because you know they're just saying, "Hey, public service, right? We're helping them out."
Yeah, I thought.
And prosecutors say he was also carrying a map of the local area.
Interesting. So it's like, what is his plan? First off, you're hanging out at a gas station that's not even open. That's a little weird in itself. And then you're like walking around in traffic. With your little cocktails? Come on.
Hmm. Oh, and wait. We're not done yet.
Oh.
This is going to be a greater irritating factor.
Okay.
Remember when I said he was inadmissible in both 2024 and then again in 2025, but he's here anyway?
Yeah.
And that would also make him a flight risk,
yes.
You would think.
Oh, no.
Will County Judge Theodore Jarz, J-A-R-Z, allowed El-Sadi to... be released from jail pending trial, thanks to Illinois' Safety Act, which abolished cash bail.
Yep, that was part of the whole thing that kicked in this last year.
Not supposed to be here.
Twice. Well,
2 different times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now thrice.
Not supposed to be here. Yeah. Caught with 8 Molotov cocktails.
Yeah.
Now, what if they didn't? What if police weren't, you know, paying attention, going, hey, isn't that the guy we gave a ride to the gas station? What's he doing?
And you're putting him out right on the street.
Yep.
Judges like that should just be recalled.
Well,
I mean, I'm sorry.
No. That's not necessary.
Okay, it's Illinois law. That's true.
Yeah.
You got Pritzker to think.
Get rid of that. Pritzker.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
And all the other Democrats that have, you know, run that city and that area into the ground.
That's just disgusting.
Oh, but don't worry. He'll be monitored through GPS tracking.
Okay. So you know where he's at, but what's he doing before you get there?
You know where he's at until he actually cuts the bracelet off, and you don't know where. You know where the bracelet is.
Uh-huh.
But if he's not attached to it anymore,
uh-huh.
And if he's so savvy he could make Molotov cocktails, he probably would figure out how to cut that bracelet off, I would think.
Wow.
Yeah. But not a flight risk. Don't you worry about it. He's not going anywhere. He shouldn't be here. So clearly he came from somewhere.
Yeah, send him back.
Yeah.
Or give him a new place to stay for a while.
Yeah.
Something. Don't let him
either
walk around.
Either or both. Let him spend a little time in the Hooskow.
That's unreal.
And then ship him out.
What is wrong with these? I mean, and that, you go back to the list. I think it was for 2026. Time flies. It could have been 2025. The list of things that Illinois put into law, just, I mean, all my cop friends up there are just like pulling their hair out because it just makes their job impossible.
The no bail, I don't know how automatic it is, but clearly it should not be if it is an automatic.
Right.
But what the whole design behind that was not a terrible design. It was for people who commit minor, not dangerous crimes. Carrying Molotov cocktails, I mean, that's not, it's not a recreational sport, okay? So, so you've got a person who truly is a real threat, but the idea of the no bail was an ordinarily good person.
Yes.
Wrong place, wrong time, makes a poor decision, has a job, has a family. You don't want him to lose his ability to earn a living to spend time in jail. So you let him go and funds are tight, so maybe he can't come up with the bail. But if you keep him in jail, he's going to lose his job and his family's going to suffer as a result. That was the idea behind it. It's not a terrible idea if it is utilized judiciously. But you've got judges. Their name is Judge, but they're not very judicious.
No.
If anything, they lack the judgment to be a judge.
And then the lawmakers allow you to be lawbreakers.
And then they wonder,
why is it so messed up?
Yeah, or maybe they don't wonder. They're like, I live in a gated community. I live in a nice neighborhood. Yeah.
I'm sure Pritzker's doing fine. He doesn't care.
Oh, yeah. He was...
Yeah. What a...
When you call him a fat cat, I mean, you're not exaggerating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a loser. He needs to lose some, but he's a loser.
Yeah.
I have two words for him. Salad bar.
Hmm.
You know that special salad that just came from Mexico a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm glad you said salad bar, because if he goes to the bar, he might run into his friend ordering up Molotov cocktails. A disturbing one. Southern California Republicans are furious with the Orange County Fair. This is California, which not only denied the GOP a booth. You can't have a booth.
What?
You can't have a... And this is Orange County. Like, not all of it is crazy lefty.
Right.
It's Orange County. But nope. GOP can't have a booth this year. And
wow.
But it is featuring, however, in its art room display, and I'm holding up my art
air
room
quotes.
Display...
Yeah.
A framed photo that essentially calls for the death of President Donald Trump.
Really?
That is perfectly acceptable, but the GOP, to have a booth there?
Because they would say that's free speech, but the GOP have no free speech.
Yeah, you can't have free speech, but we can have free speech that calls for the death of a sitting president? Not wrapping my head around that one. Orange County Republican Party Chairman Will O'Neill sent the fair's governing board a blistering letter. And not only is the president in Southern California this week, which he was at that time when this all happened, but on Sunday, authorities arrested a 38-year-old man who was allegedly doing suspicious surveillance on the golf course owned by Trump, in which he was expected to visit. Just 40 miles from the fairgrounds, by the way. Yeah. The anti-Trump photograph shows a child holding a sign that reads, "Happy Last Birthday," next to another sign with a caricature of Donald Trump, as well as other anti-Trump images. The work's attributed to Alexander Nugan, entitled "The Young Fight." Just call it art, and it's perfectly okay, I guess. In some circles. 7:45 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Erica Donalds, and we're going to talk about education, jobs, AI, and how it's going to impact Floridians. That's coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Crank it up, pump it up. Let's get ready for the day. Let's attack. It is Thursday, and you're listening to the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. It is 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek will be joining us in a few minutes. Now, fresh off the headlines, IRGC Chief Ahmad Vahidi said that Iran would continue its program, its nuclear program, as long as the U.S. and Israel possess nuclear arms. Well, that's the IRGC chief. How can we overcome that? Can the president overcome that? We go back to, will the agreement be worth the paper it's written on? Iran's top Revolutionary Guard commander declared Wednesday that Tehran would continue working on nuclear weapons as long as the U.S. and Israel have them, intensifying concerns that Iran is using negotiations over the Strait of Hormuz to postpone concessions on its nuclear program. Yeah, what are they busy doing while, you know, we have let time pass, a ceasefire going on? Are they digging out? Are they looking for that nuclear material? Do they have it? Are they trying to jury-rig some kind of a device that if we do have to go in as, you know, ground troops or whatever, would sort of almost be, well, it'd be like a trap? But the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, responded by vowing that Israel would continue preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon with or without a diplomatic agreement. And, you know, since we've been on to them, Iran, that is, of course, they've spread out all their nuclear facilities. They're underground. They're in different locations. And you don't always know what is where. Is the nuclear material there? Is it spread between different facilities? But this guy coming out, he's basically telling you that we're never going to stop working on a nuclear weapon. That's the guy that's the head of the IRGC. Well, yeah, what he says is going to have some impact, especially if the IRGC, the people under him, are not going to listen to the higher-ups. And they're just going to keep going and pushing and doing all kinds of things. I just have a feeling that we continue to put off the inevitable. And should we wait until they're further prepared, till they have, you know, prepared booby traps and other kinds of traps? You know, what else are they up to during this period of time? Now, I know we've got a game plan, and we've been busy the whole time, too. We have our own plans and things that we're setting up and putting into place as well. But for it to stretch on this long, and we're moving backwards in some ways. Yeah, you hear the foreign minister of Iran saying, oh, yeah, we sat down with Oman. We're working things out, you know. We're going to work out some kind of a, you know, a system where we control the Strait of Hormuz and, you know, just get a little bit of cash off the top. You know, a small transaction for every ship, which, of course, is not small. But that was supposed to be one of the top things. No nukes, no messing with the Strait. Pretty clear the way I said it. I don't think it's necessarily a complicated thing. It doesn't have to be. Why would it take so long? And did they really call Trump and say, please don't do it? Please don't get this next major attack underway? Because we know Saudi Arabia, we know they called. They asked, maybe not right now. So was it Saudi Arabia? Are we doing that for their benefit in some way, shape, or form, which I don't fully understand or grasp that, the idea behind that. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to go full throttle. I don't know what else we can possibly wait for. As long as these people who are the hardcores in the regime are in any position of power, you know, whether it's totally governmental leadership-wise or whether it's the head of the IRGC, as long as those people are around, they're going to be working on a nuclear weapon. So it doesn't leave us much of a choice as to what we need to do. Meanwhile, here back at home.
Yes, a little closer.
Yeah, North Carolina, their largest school district, which I would think is probably Mecklenburg or whatever. Anyway, Wake County School Board member commented on this. Basically, this is the district hired a transgender teacher.
Okay.
Okay. Should they be, you know, allowed to teach in the classroom? Of course. There's no reason why they can't. Now, this is different than them, you know, putting on a drag show.
Right. Yeah.
But here's where it gets a little tricky. It's an elementary teacher.
Okay.
And young minds can be very inquisitive.
Yeah.
And young minds also don't have much of a filter.
Yes.
And so what is going to take place in the classroom?
And do we need to be putting certain things in those young minds?
And by the way, you can be trans or gay or whatever. It doesn't mean that doesn't mean that they are harmful directly to children at all.
Right.
Not in a physical sense, per se.
Oh, yeah, right. We'd agree with that.
But in terms of you're a teacher, you're a person of authority, you're respected by the kids, they listen to you, they pay attention to you. So what other input are you going to have besides the selected curriculum that might be the basis for some level of discussion? That's concerning to parents.
Right.
What is going to take place there? And they did this. They hired the teacher without informing parents of the children who will soon be in what they're saying is his classroom.
Okay.
And State Representative Aaron Perret, a Republican, said that she received concerns in a post on X from parents and some teachers about a new music teacher at the Southern Wake Elementary School who is transgender and recently attended a school function dressed in a dress as a biological man. Well, they floated the possibility of legislation outlining gender-specific workplace attire in a future legislative session. So if they just don't allow him to dress as a her,
right,
will that eliminate the problem? And by the way, look, everybody deserves an opportunity to make a living.
Yes.
But when you are in this certain position to really influence, especially the young minds, you get kids in high school. By the time they're in high school and public school,
yeah,
there's nothing you're going to show them or they're going to hear about it. They haven't been
elementary
exposed to already. But yeah, elementary, a tender age, it really is. And the parents deserve to have a certain amount of control over, you know, what kind of input, what is going to be coming from the teachers. Coming up next, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek in the house. Stand by, my friends. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday.